We're talking about what it feels like to be part of a life-saving COVID vaccine trial. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Pfizer and BioNTech have just announced that trial volunteers who got the placebo will have the option to receive the real two-dose regimen. It's called the vaccine transition option, and these trial participants will continue to be monitored by investigators. Bloomberg is reporting the so-called unblinding list is underway. Did you take part in a COVID vaccine trial? What was that like? Would you have volunteered for a trial if you had had the chance? It's 800-642-1234. John Faber is a health and medical reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was a trial volunteer in the AstraZeneca vaccine, and he received a second and final shot Monday. John, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So why did you decide to be a volunteer in a clinical trial for the COVID vaccine?
I'd like to say that I was trying to help society or do my part to try to help end this pandemic. But reality is that I was just wanted to do whatever I could to protect myself from this virus. I'm in my 60s, so I'm a little bit higher risk for a serious outcome. And I had looked at some of the preliminary numbers that were out for this vaccine, and to me it was sort of like a no-brainer. It was I can face a 1 or 2 in 100 chance of dying if I get infected versus maybe a 1 in several thousand chance of having a serious reaction to the virus. So I decided that I wanted to do whatever I could to protect myself and my family. And so I just, there was a link in I think it was in a story that we had actually run where you could go in and sign up for being a participant in the trial.
In the UW School of Medicine and Public Health.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. This is, being conducted by the folks in Madison at UW. They're trying to enroll, I think, somewhere up to about 1,000 people in their arm of the trial. And so I clicked on it. This is back in, I think, September or something. Didn't really think I'd get in. And then I got a call in October saying, do you want to still want to be in the trial? So it was kind of a no-brainer. I'd like to do whatever I can to help end this terrible pandemic. But the reality is I was looking more for protection for me and my family.
What do we know so far about the AstraZeneca trial?
The data that they presented is pretty promising. I think it would have been a lot more promising if it had been presented months ago. But, we have two other vaccines that are out now with effectiveness data that are actually significantly better than the AstraZeneca results so far. So AstraZeneca has come out with some preliminary numbers suggesting that their vaccine is either 90% effective or 62% effective. And that has to do with the dose that you get. The initial dose, it's a two-shot vaccine. And depending on whether you got a half dose or a full dose in the first shot, it's either 62% or 90% effective. Unfortunately, the trial that's going on in Madison and all over the country, people are getting the dose that would be 62% effective.
So how were you treated as a trial participant? And is this the first trial you've been a part of?
It is. I've been covering medicine for 25 years and have written, hundreds of times about clinical trials, but never had been a participant in one. I mean, that was also in the back of my mind when I signed up for this. I did think that there might be a story in it, and I've written a couple of stories about my experience for our paper. This whole idea of how clinical trials are done and what actually takes place, I thought it would be nice to see see it from the inside. I was treated great. I mean, folks at Madison are running this really, really well. You come in, somebody meets you, you know, at the coffee shop in the first floor of the, or the second floor of the UW Hospital and Clinics building. You have to be wearing a mask. They take you up to, eventually take you up to the sixth floor where you give a blood sample and you go through a consent form that's 27 pages long. They ask you tons of questions about, you know, whether you really want to do this, and a lot of questions about your medical history. And then they eventually take you into a little room where there's some curtains separating you from, I think, three other people who were also in the trial, and they give you your injections. You sit around for, you know, 15 minutes to make sure there's no adverse reaction, and then you leave, and then come back again and do it a month later.
Right. So that was injection singular, and then you came back how many days later? You said a month?
Yeah, I think it was like 29 days.
Yeah. So the study and the proposed vaccine, it was paused back in September because someone in the UK became ill. Do we ever know what happened there?
There were actually a couple of cases. I think two of them sort of were ruled out as being caused by the vaccination. There was mm-hmm. one that the person developed a condition called transverse myelitis, which is a neurologic condition that sort of causes your muscles to get inflamed and weakened, and it can be very serious. I don't know if they've ever established for certain that it was caused by the virus, because that does occur in other instances. You know, there are, it's kind of a rare disorder, but it happens from time to time. But that was one person out of, I think it was several thousand. And once they've sort of, you know, figured out that, you know, whether or not the virus or the vaccine caused it, and how rare it actually was, they had to put the trial on pause for close to a month, I think. And then mm-hmm. they were allowed to resume once they've got through all the analysis of the event.
I'm going to reintroduce you here, John Faber. We're talking with health and medical reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He volunteered to take part in the vaccine clinical trial for the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine, and he received his second and final dose on Monday. Taking your questions about being a vaccine participant and your experience as well at 800-642-1234. John, what did it feel like after you had the first shot and then the second shot?
Yeah, that's interesting. I've been thinking a lot about that. I felt fine, which was not a good sign as far as I was concerned. My first shot, I didn't experience any of the kinds of temporary minor reactions that people may get, you know, like a fever, headache, fatigue, a very sore arm. I didn't really have any of that. My wife felt my forehead that night, and she said it felt a little clammy, but I don't think that's one of the reactions that you're looking for. So that kind of told me that maybe I got the placebo. The second shot that I got on Monday, I had a really small amount of soreness in my arm, and I might have felt a little warm. Unfortunately, our family thermometer wasn't working very well, and it actually told me that my temperature was 95.3, which would be
that's not working.
But I did. I was a little warm, I guess. So, there's so much to this that you can imagine, and I think whatever I felt was probably within the margin of error for being psychosomatic. So I don't know. The other thing is I just seldom have any reaction to, I put this in one of my stories. In September, I got a high dose flu shot and, my second shingles vaccine, both in the same day. And I felt virtually nothing from those either. So I don't know. I mean, the numbers say that there's a 1 in 3 chance that I got the placebo, and, I guess it's going to be a matter of time before I really know what I got.
Yeah, Jeff in Menominee, along those lines of what you just said, called in, couldn't stay with us, and he wants to know more if you receive the placebo, you know anything, how or when will you be told? And usually in a gold standard trial, Jeff says you aren't supposed to know.
Yeah. Yeah, although there are trials that are conducted in ways where they do let people, they call it crossover. Mm-hmm. You know, there are cancer drug trials where they give people a drug that looks promising. And if they see that certain numbers of people are, you know, not getting any better or getting worse, and that the drug that they're testing looks good, they sometimes feel an ethical obligation to let people cross over and go from getting a placebo or a non-active agent to getting the real thing. So there are ways to do that. But for us, you know, people in the, and not just, this is not just the AstraZeneca trial. It's, you know, there are two big trials that, you know, the Moderna trial and the Pfizer trial that have, you know, both have tens of thousands of participants. And they all too have many, many thousands of people who got placebos and are wondering whether they got the real thing or a saltwater injection. And so I think the vaccine companies, drug companies that are doing these trials are starting to, you know, come up with policies that will eventually allow people who got a placebo to find out if that's the case. And then secondly, get whatever approved vaccine might be on the market at the time. I mean, right now it's for the people in the AstraZeneca trial, it's kind of a non-issue because none of us, unless we're healthcare workers or in nursing homes, and even with the AstraZeneca trial, that wouldn't even apply. But there are people who are in the trial who, you know, might be eligible for a Pfizer vaccine who, like, say, healthcare worker.
And we have to just pause there. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with health journalist John Faber of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He participated in the AstraZeneca vaccine study. And over the course of these studies, there's been this ethical debate, as we've been talking about placebos in a pandemic and whether you provide protection to everyone who joins a study, even though placebo groups are critical for studying long-term side effects over time. So, John, you don't know what you got still, but will the study administrators eventually tell you if you got the placebo or not so you can get the real vaccine when it is available to you?
Yeah, I think just recently there's been some talk of at least allowing the volunteers to request to find out what they got, to essentially do what they call unblind the person's
unblinding
data.
List. Yeah.
And so I don't know when that'll happen. I mean, for a lot of us in this trial, it's right now it's kind of a moot point because we don't have access to an approved vaccine yet, unless we're in a nursing home or a healthcare worker. But that will come up, I think, sometime soon in the next couple of months. Certainly, there's going to be a lot of people who want to know if they got the placebo, and because they want to get a real vaccine that can protect them.
Right. I mean, it has real life consequences. They really do need to know in this case. And so it seems like ethically you would want to tell your study participants who got the placebo that they should go ahead and get a vaccine.
Right. So I think there, and I don't know how many of people are like this, but I know that a number of the people in the trial, that's the AstraZeneca trial that's going on in Madison, are actually healthcare workers at UW Health. You know, there were a number of those who were volunteers, and they now and they don't know, or at least they hadn't known up until just recently, whether they got the placebo or the real thing. But they probably want to know, and they're going to be, I would imagine, some of them are going to be unblinded because of their jobs. They need to be protected, so. And that's going to play out over a much larger group of people who aren't, you know, healthcare workers, people like myself and thousands of other people around the country. we're going to want to know. And, you know, it's a dilemma that, you know, when we signed up for this trial, we agreed that we would stay with it for 2 years, that we would make, you know, up to 13 visits, because there's a lot of, you know, blood samples and things they have to do. So we made a commitment for that period of time. But at the same time, we also were told in our consent form that we could drop out whenever we wanted to for whatever reason. So there's sort of conflicting commitments or conflicting instructions about what your responsibilities are. And my guess is that a lot of people are going to want to just find out what they got. And if they didn't get the real thing, they're going to want to get vaccinated.
So as you see the vaccines here, you know, people being given the shot, Pfizer's vaccine, Moderna, is the AstraZeneca vaccine and the clinical trial you are a part of, do you think that will eventually get through and be a vaccine and be approved through the FDA? Or do you think that AstraZeneca will step back and stop the project?
Well, that's a good question. You know, if you had asked back, you know, months ago whether a vaccine that was 62% effective, like looks like the AstraZeneca vaccine is, if something like that would be approved, and I think just about anybody in public health would say, absolutely, we'll take it and we'll be happy to get it, because it not only protects at least 62% of the people who get it from getting COVID, but it looks like it has some real, even better protection against getting a severe case of COVID, which is what everybody is really worried about. So I think that if their data holds up, I think this is just a guess, but I think they're going to get approved, because right now we have so little vaccine available to vaccinate so many people, and any additional vaccine, whether it's 62% effective or 80% or 90 or 95, is going to help. So my guess is that sometime in the next month or two that AstraZeneca will probably get approval for their vaccine. I mean, I don't know that, but that's what I would think, given the huge need there is for more vaccine to get out there and get into people.
We're talking with John Faber, who is a health and medical reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He volunteered to take part in the vaccine clinical trial for the AstraZeneca vaccine, and he received a second and final dose on Monday. You can join in with your experiences in a clinical trial at 800-642-1234. John, I want to get your thoughts here. As you watch the Pfizer vaccine rollout happening underway, what are you watching for as a longtime health and medical reporter?
I think we pretty much know what the Pfizer vaccine is going to do. You know, it's we're at a really odd time right now. It's probably the most hopeful period in the pandemic that we've experienced, because we can see this light at the end of the tunnel. But at the same time, I think we're probably facing the most deadly winter in our history. You know, there's going to be a lot of real sadness between now and when we can get, you know, large numbers of people vaccinated. So I guess what I'm hoping for is that the vaccine gets produced in larger and larger amounts so that we can get more and more people vaccinated, and that other additional vaccines get on the market so that, you know, as quickly as possible, we can get to that point where so many people are vaccinated that the virus essentially dies out and hopefully goes away.
What do you make of the speed that this vaccine was made and the efficacy in the end?
Well, I mean, I think the efficacy was just an incredibly pleasant surprise. I don't think anyone really thought that you'd get vaccines that were 90% effective. And the speed of it is pretty remarkable how quickly these vaccines came about. Some of it has to do with technology that we had already been working on. One of the other reasons why the vaccines got proven to be effective so quickly is that there was so much virus out there and that, you know, you didn't have to vaccinate that many people for that long. I mean, you could just vaccinate a smaller number of people and find out fairly quickly if it worked, because so many people are being infected, especially now. I mean, I think one of the vaccine vaccine or the drug companies, Johnson & Johnson, actually cut the number of people that they need in their trial recently because there's so much coronavirus out there that they think they can come up with the bottom line results much quicker. So I think it was a combination. And that was also this, you know, the government agreed to, you know, fund this research, or at least buy these vaccines without knowing whether they would work or not. So it was
Operation Warp Speed. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it was a combination of technology that was already advancing, the fact that the virus is so prevalent and the, you know, involvement of government and the willingness of it to buy these vaccines sort of sight unseen.
We only have about less than a minute left here. What do you have your eye on? What are you watching?
Well, I guess I'm watching the AstraZeneca results. I think they're supposed to report some more results in the next month. There was some talk of them sort of switching this lower dose as the initial dose to sort of change their trial or add another element to their trial so that people were getting, some people get the half dose as the initial shot, and some people will continue to get the full dose. I mean, the thing that from a personal point of view, I guess the thing that I'm most interested in is how effective the AstraZeneca vaccine proves to be.
Right. And whether you got a placebo or not, I'm sure that weighs on your mind.
Yeah, it sure does. And I'm sure I'll figure that out eventually. I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet if I did get the placebo, but I'm definitely going to want to know the answer to that question if I can get it answered at some point.
John, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
John Faber is a health and medical reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He volunteered to take part in the vaccine clinical trial for the AstraZeneca corona vaccine underway. Coming up, we talk with the head of the Institute for Women's Policy Research about how and why the pandemic is disproportionately affecting women at work. Are you a mom? Did you leave your employer or take care of your family? Or did you get laid off? Tell your story, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.